It's just 2 weeks out and we've got your gifts at Macy's One Day Sale. With over 25,000 deals of the day in-store and online. Like PJs for the whole fam. Now $4.99 to $19.99. Have a jet setter on your gift list? Samsonite luggage is 60 to 65% off. How about a home chef? Give a KitchenAid Classic Stand Mixer for just $189.99. Tuesday and Wednesday at Macy's. Savings off sale prices. Exclusions apply. Macy's Star Rewards members can earn towards Star Money. Ask your store associate or visit Macy's.com/Star Money for details.
All right, folks. Well, a little glitch there getting started. Not a technical glitch, but a little preparation glitch by myself this evening. And I'm trying to look and make sure I'm on there. It says live. That means I guess I'm on. And for those of you who notice those kind of things, yes, I have underneath the pulpit here, I have black shorts on. What you don't know is pretty much every time I do this, I have shorts on. I try to wear a nice shirt, you know, and it's just a thing. So let me focus myself here and get started. Welcome to tonight's sermon, the weekly sermon. And glad that you're with us. I think we've got an important message to bring to you tonight. I think it's timely. I think it fits in with what we've been talking about on our podcast recently. I think it fits with what we've been preaching recently. And I believe that God wants to bless you with what he has to say tonight. Now, we're just going to jump right in. Not going to advertise ourselves tonight. Not going to chit-chat around. We're going to get right to business. And the title of the sermon is As the End Draws Near. There's a sense of urgency, folks, or there needs to be a sense of urgency, at least. The end is drawing near. And for those that know me and know my family, knows Amy and knows Amy's family, you might think that this sermon is going to be about something that is going on in our family right now, because it would be a logical sermon illustration, maybe even a sermon outline, but that's not the case. So I want to just make that clear right from the very beginning. It's not about that issue. And if you don't know us, or know much about us, just skip over that part. But I wanted to make sure that people that listen, that are close with us, knew that point from right up front. It's not about what's going on in our personal lives at this point in time, but it is about what's going on in everyone's personal life at this point in time. You see, we need a sense of urgency because the end draws near. I've told this story several times. I don't know that I've told it on a sermon that I've done here on Facebook Live or on Blog Talk Radio, possibly Blog Talk Radio, but it bears repeating. Several years ago, as I pastored Hope First Wesleyan Church in Hope, Indiana, we had a plan to bring several of the Wesleyan congregations together and have a night of hymns and special worship. Now, if you know the Wesleyan Church in the past, I was brought up on the good old hymns of the Bible. What a friend we have in Jesus, Amazing Grace, just the old, really good hymns. And so we had people from all of the different churches, or most of the different churches in what we call our region, that were going to come to Hope First Wesleyan that night, and they were going to sing special music, and that was planned and publicized. There was a friend that we had in Hope that brought her two young girls to our midweek service that was our youth groups. She actually attended a different church regularly, but she liked our youth groups and brought them regularly. Jamie was her name. Jamie was a wonderful person. She was a good mother. She loved God. She had a very bubbly personality, somebody that you liked to be around. Jamie liked to give hugs and receive hugs. And Jamie was about 27, somewhere around there, at the point in time that we're talking. Now, the church that Jamie attended for her main place of worship was a little bit more of an upbeat type of musical background, not necessarily the good old hymns, even though I'm sure that they did that, but a lot of instruments and things like that. And so Jamie stops by early in the week and says, "Is that singing you're going to have this coming Sunday night?" And yes, it's this coming Sunday. "I'm going to be there, Pastor. I promise you, I'm going to be there." And in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, man, I hope Jamie's not disappointed. We're going to be singing the old hymns, and she's used to something different. And man, I hope she's not disappointed. So the week goes on, and we continue to invite and publicize. And a day before the actual event, Jamie pulled up as I was walking outside for something, and she pulled up and rolled the window down and said, "Pastor, that singing's tomorrow night, right?" I said, "Yes, 6:00. "I'll be here, Pastor. I promise you I'll be here." And again, I think, wow, I hope Jamie's not disappointed in what we have going on tomorrow night. Tomorrow night arrives, Sunday night. The churches get together, and most of the time in things like that, they bring their best singers and people who are the special music at their church, and one song after another and after another. And I remember looking back, Jamie got there not late, but later than some people, and so she was sitting way far in the back. I picture Jamie as an upfront person, but she was sitting way back in the back. And she was lifting her hands to the Lord and praising God every single song that was sang, whether it was a slow old hymn or if it was a more modern upbeat song. Jamie just praised the Lord. The service was over, and Jamie came out front because I had to stand outside and greet people as they left because there were a lot of people there and it would get backed up. So I was outside and shook the hands of people as they left. And here come Jamie through the line. And she got up to me and she was so excited. "Pastor, I loved it tonight. It was great. God was in the house." And she was so excited. Jamie gave me a big hug like she always did. and put her arms around you. And she whispered in my ear, "I love you, Pastor Ed." Now that was different. Jamie was always a big hugger. But that night, she whispered in my ear, "I love you, Pastor Ed." I didn't think much of it at the time. We went on about our business that night. The next morning, Jamie got in her car to take her oldest to preschool, I think, was where they were going. Both kids in the car. The younger one in a car seat in the back. Jamie goes to the Hope Community Center where she drops off her daughter for preschool, starts to head back to their house in the country. And as she's on a country road, something happens, and Jamie flipped her car. So many years later, and it's still a difficult story. Jamie flipped her car. Her baby in the back seat didn't get a scratch. Or at least not much of any injury. Jamie wasn't so lucky. And Jamie went home to meet Jesus that very next morning after she hugged me and whispered in my ear, "I love you, Pastor Ed." After she praised and worshiped and loved God with all of her heart, soul, mind, and strength, she went home to be with Jesus. And for Jamie, her end wasn't just near, but she was there. In the book of Daniel, chapter 12, it talks about the end times. And that's where we're at today, the end times. That's where we're at sermon-wise today, the end times. Quite possibly in our lives and in our world, in our society, we may be at the end times as well. I'll preface the words by saying, throughout the Bible, the prediction of the end times has been prevalent. And this is an Old Testament prophecy from Daniel, but you'll read in the New Testament where the folks that did the writing talked about the end being near. And so maybe you think that when we talk about end times, it's just crying wolf. I hope you don't think that, because Jamie, her end time came very unexpectedly. And yours could too. At the end of times, chapter 12 in the book of Daniel, at that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will rise. There will be a time of distress such as has not happened from the beginning of nations until then. But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awaken, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, roll up and seal the words of the scroll until the time of the end. Many will go here, and there will be increased knowledge. Then I, Daniel, looked, and there before me stood two others, one on this bank of the river and one on the opposite side of the bank. One of them said to the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river, "How long will it be before these astonishing things are fulfilled?" The man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river lifted his right hand and his left hand toward heaven. And I heard him swear by him who lives forever, saying, "It will be for a time, times and a half a time. When the power of the holy people has finally broken, all these things will be completed." I did not understand. So I asked, "My Lord, what will the outcome of all this be?" He replied, "Go your way, Daniel, because the words are rolled up and sealed until the time of the end. Many will be purified, made spotless and refined, but the wicked will continue to be wicked. None of the wicked will understand, but those who are wise will understand. From the time that the daily sacrifice is abolished and the abomination that causes desolation is set up, there will be 1,290 days. Blessed is the one who waits for and reaches the end of 1,335 days. As for you, go your way till the end. you will rest, and then at the end of the days, you will rise to receive your allotted inheritance. Father God in heaven, we ask you to bless the reading of your word. We ask you just now to be with us as we examine these scriptures and others, and as we talk about the end times and where we might be in that plan right now. Father, I ask you to bless me as I speak for you. Anoint my mind and my mouth, and I ask you to rebuke anything that would come out of them that wouldn't be of you, that my words will be exactly what you want me to say and what you want the people that are listening and watching to hear. Father, I take this very seriously because we're talking about eternity. And so, Father, help us tonight to do the very best we can for you. We pray this all in the holy and wonderful and precious name of Jesus. Amen. You see, Daniel, Old Testament Daniel, is talking about the end times. And let me take just a second here and say, if you see me squint in a painful look, I've been having some back spasms, and moving even the slightest occasionally will cause me to have a short back spasm. So if I have a pained look on my face, that's the reason. It's nothing horrible. It's just that for a couple of seconds, I feel like somebody grabbed me in the back and held on and then let go. So that's why if you see me squint, that's the reason. Daniel's talking about things that are way before his time. You think, when you think end times prophecy, most of the time you think of New Testament writings, even though there is end times prophecy numerous places in the Old Testament, and Daniel is talking about the end times. And there are good questions here, questions that we ask today, and we find answers here. How long will it be before these astonishing things are fulfilled? And he lifted his right hand and his left hand, and I heard him swear by him who lives forever, it will be for a time, times and a half. There's a certain time that Jesus is going to come back, and only God knows when that is. You don't know that. I don't know that. Your preacher doesn't know that. The Pope doesn't know that. No one knows when Jesus is returning. God the Father has that information, and he alone. There are false prophets out there that will tell you that tomorrow, because there is going to be an eclipse, that's the end of the world. Even though I haven't heard a lot of that during this build-up to the big eclipse tomorrow. But many times, I remember when Y2K, I got to be careful, there's something else that goes in there that would be the wrong phrase. Y2K, the year 2000, when it came around, people thought, that's the end of the world. Things are going to go berserk. Computers are going to crash. They're not set up for the 2000s. Life as we know it is going to end. Well, here we are in the year 2017, and we're still going strong. We're going strong, but the world is going in a different direction than where God would have us to be. As you look at things, and as I talked about on our podcast last night, I talked about the way the world was. I talked about some of the bad things that were going on. I talked about Charlottesville, Virginia a little bit. I talked about numerous things in the world. I talked about a horrible story of elementary age children in Great Britain being addicted to pornography. My mind doesn't even wrap around things like that. It doesn't grasp things like that. But we're in a time where evil is prevalent. Evil is even prevalent in the church today, folks. Don't be deceived by the great deceiver that everything is okay. The only things that are okay are what line up with the scriptures and what God would say is okay. The deceiver would have you believe that just because the Bible says it doesn't mean it's so. And I'm here to tell you tonight that if the Bible says it, you better believe it, and it is so. Don't risk your eternity on a great deceiver that wants nothing from you other than for you to rot in hell for all of eternity. And if that's too blunt for you, I'm not sorry. It's just the way it is. And you've got to hear the truth. You've got to understand the truth. And if you hear the truth and you understand the truth, then the truth will set you free. But not unless you know what it is. Because there are people out here that are Satan's minions that'll have you believe whatever it is that you need to believe in place of what God would have you believe. There's people out here that worship food. There are people out here that worship their family. And there's nothing wrong with loving your family, but we don't worship our family. There's people out here that worship trees. There are people out here, there are churches out here where they handle snakes. And that's so smart that one of them not too long ago got bit by a rattlesnake and died. You see, we have to put our faith and our trust in the God of the Bible, not in a snake. Not showing that, boy, I have the faith of a mountain that this snake isn't going to bite me. And the snake turns around and bites him, and he dies. See, Satan won because that snake bit him, and he died, and he had eternity to spend as a result of his stupid choice. You see, Jamie gets to spend eternity with her Savior because of the choices that she made in life, because of the choice that she made to accept Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. She went to her grave praising and worshiping him. I think about it, and it's hard to think about, and everybody misses Jamie. Everybody that knew Jamie misses Jamie. I've watched as her daughter has grown into a high school senior, I think, now. We're Facebook friends, and I've just watched. And I know by different things she says and different comments and different posts that she misses her mama greatly. But you know, as greatly as we miss people, they're in a wonderful place when they make it to heaven. But we have to make it. We have to make it to heaven. God told Daniel, go your way. These, the words, are rolled up and sealed until the time of the end. Many will be purified, made spotless, and refined. I hope that that describes you and me tonight, that we will be purified. We will be made spotless, and that we will be refined, because in the very next part of the same sentence, after a comma, not a new sentence, but the wicked will continue to be wicked. The wicked will continue to be wicked. Satan, no matter how good he makes things look, is wicked. He is evil. He has minions running around doing his dirty work. He has people posing as sheep, as wolves, in sheep clothing. I about got that wrong, didn't I? He has them posing as wolves in sheep's clothing to deceive you. When it's deception, it's not from God. God will never leave you nor forsake you. And I'll add, he will never deceive you. He will love you. He will support you. He will walk through the valley of the shadow of death with you. But he will not deceive you. Deception is not from God. It's from the evil one. In the book of Matthew, chapter 13, verses 38 through 40, it says this: the field is this world, and the good seed stands for the people of the kingdom. We're talking about a parable that Jesus uses here. The weeds are the people of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. Do you see what Jesus is telling them here? I talked about in a Bible study that I was leading this morning, the Sunday school class, whatever you want to call it, that Jesus used parables, and I love parables. But one of the problems that people have with parables is maybe they can't relate to what was being talked to because it was specific to the audience that Jesus had in front of him. The field is the world. And so he's explaining here what that parable meant. And the good seeds stand for the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people of the evil one. And he gets very specific. The one who sows the weeds is who? Is the devil. Jesus was calling out a spade a spade. If it's evil, it's from the devil. It's not from God. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up, weeds being the evil, in the harvest, which is the end, the weeds are pulled up and burned in fire, as will those who are behind the evil one in the end of time. Burned in the fire. He doesn't say hell. He uses an example. They burn those weeds in a fire. And Satan wants you to burn in fire with him with all eternity, for all eternity. So it will be at the end of the age. Are we in the end times? Have all the prophecies lined up? All I know is I'm not given the gift of prophecy. I don't know if we're at the end of the age. I know that things line up all the time and continue to line up more and more and more. I believe that the coming of Jesus Christ could be any day. And maybe those that are prophesying that tomorrow is the end of the age, maybe they lucked out and guessed the right one. I don't know. But what I do know is that Janie went to church on Sunday night and left about this time of night. She was a healthy, wonderful 27-year-old lady. And her end came Monday morning about 12 hours later. I was going to use this toward the end, but I think I'll use it now because it fits. They're having Harvest Fest in Southern California this weekend, and Greg Laurie is whose Harvest Fest is run by. Wonderful man of God and a preacher of the gospel. And in one of his, I believe Friday night, possibly last night, one of his messages there at Harvest Fest, he said this. He said, "I don't mean to freak you out, but this could be your last chance to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. This could be your last chance. Someone's name here is going to end up in the obituaries tomorrow. It could be yours, and it could be mine." And all of those years back, it was Jamie that Greg Laurie would have been talking about. I don't mean to freak you out. I don't mean to sound like an alarmist, but folks, we're not promised. I won't even say tomorrow. We're not promised tonight. It'll be dark here in Indiana soon. I might not see the darkness of the night. We don't know when our heart's going to stop, when we're going to have a stroke that debilitates us and takes us away, when we're going to have a heart attack, when we're just going to lay down and not wake up anymore. When an aneurysm in your brain explodes and you're done. Anything at any age can take you to heaven or send you to hell right where you're at right now. Am I being an alarmist? If I am, it's only because I want you to be in heaven for eternity. It's not because I want to have people look at me and say, "Oh, look at that preacher. He goes around and he freaks people out." I'll use Greg Laurie's line. I don't mean to freak you out. I mean to be serious with you and let you know that the end draws near. Satan will tell you, "You've got time. Go out and enjoy things." Like being a follower of Satan is enjoyable. Do the things of the world that makes the world happy. You've got plenty of time. Don't listen to him. Don't listen to him. Give your life to Jesus right now, today. Don't wait for tomorrow, because tomorrow may never come. The trumpet of the Lord may sound, and the angels of the Lord will accompany Jesus Christ himself as he returns to earth. Could happen tonight. We may not get to the eclipse tomorrow. And why am I so passionate about this? Because, folks, the world, not just the United States or not just another part of the world, the whole world is spiraling out of control. Right will be wrong and wrong will be right. Just pick up the newspaper and read the headlines of what's going on. If you don't read paper newspapers anymore, click onto your favorite website of the news and be prepared to get depressed. But look at the things that are in the headlines. I don't have to call them out. I don't have to say murder. I don't have to list them for you. You know what's in the news. You know what gets the attention of people today. You know what causes one side to protest about one thing and another side to protest about another. You know those things. You know what Satan is saying is okay. And you know, and if you don't know, you need to know that what Satan says is okay is not okay in the eyes of God. Greg Laurie didn't mean to freak him out there in the arena either last night or the night before, whenever it was he said it. But whenever it was, somebody may be having their name written in an obituary right now as the newspapers for Monday morning will be produced in just a short period of time. We look back at another scripture, Mark chapter 13, verses 12 to 14 says, brother will betray brother to death. And a father, his child, children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. Everyone will hate you because of me, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. When you see the abomination that causes desolation standing where it does not belong, let the reader understand, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. If you see wrong happening, flee from wrong. Flee from it. Don't invite it in. Don't give it a crack in your door and peek through and say, I'm not interested, because you put that crack in the door, Satan will worm his way in. He's crafty. He knows what he's doing. He's after you and he's after me, and he wants nothing less than our souls. A Danish philosopher, and I'll probably butcher this last name, but it looks to me like Kierkegaard, tells a parable of a theater where a variety show is proceeding. Each show is more fantastic than the last and is applauded by the audience, but suddenly the manager comes forward. He apologizes for the interruption, but the theater is on fire, and he begs his patrons to leave in an orderly fashion. The audience think this is the most amusing turn of the evening, and they cheer thunderously. They think he's kidding about fire. The manager again implores them to leave the burning building, and he is again applauded vigorously. At last, he can do no more. The fire raced through the whole building and the fun-loving audience with it. And so, concluded Kierkegaard, will our age. I sometimes think go down in fiery destruction to the applause of a crowded house of cheering spectators. In this analogy, in this parable, the cheering comes from Satan and those who follow Satan. They want the death and the destruction that Satan provides. They want your destruction. They want you to burn in the fire. And I'm not talking about fire in a building. I'm talking about the fire from the very pits of hell. They want you to burn there. Because you see, if there were people that were ready to go when this building fire happened, they're going to be with Jesus. But if they weren't, they will be with Satan for all eternity. And guess what? Eternity never ends. The weeping, the gnashing of teeth, the desire for one drop of water will never end. Our brains have a hard time wrapping around that, but I can wrap my brain around it enough to know that I don't want any part of that. I want my eternity to be on the streets of gold. Folks, I love what I do. I love being a pastor. I love my online ministry. I love talking to you on Facebook Live. I love coming to you through Blog Talk Radio. I enjoy what I do. But I understand the importance of what I do. I'm bringing the good news of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. It's a big responsibility. But God has called me to do that. And I will do the very best that I can. I will fail. I failed miserably 2 times yesterday. God slapped me upside the head and said, "How dare you?" And I had to duck my head in shame. My wife knows what I did because she was right beside me as I did it. And God smacked me and said, "Don't you be judgmental. Don't you think that somebody is something that they're not just because they look different than you." God reminded me of the scripture when he talked about the rich man coming in and getting a good seat at the worship service and the poor man coming in and everybody basically ignoring him. And he didn't physically slap me upside the head, but boy, spiritually and mentally, he smacked me right upside the head and said, "Ed Boston, shame on you." And it wasn't a couple hours later till once again I had to get smacked upside the head because I was upset about something. And what I was upset about is a legitimate point, but how I reacted to it stunk. And this time God smacked me and caused tears to roll down my face. And I had to say to numerous people, "Please forgive me. I'm sorry. I was out of line." Satan loved every second of that until I said my apology. He loved me being judgmental. Boom! He loved me saying things that I didn't need to say or saying them in a way I didn't need to say. Boom! Satan's like, "Yes!" And after God smacked me, he listened to me say, "Forgive me, Father, for I have sinned." And you know what God did at that time? Satan shriveled, and God said, "Yes, yes, come to me." And he reached out to me, and he grabbed me and said, "What you did was wrong. Don't do it again. But welcome back, my brother. You are my creation that I love dearly. I do my best not to sin, or at least I thought I did. Yesterday was a rude awakening to me. It just came so easy. And Satan has been throwing roadblock after roadblock in my life and in Amy's life and in our family's life. One roadblock right after another. A stroke. This. That. And it doesn't seem to ever end. Amy said to me not too long ago, "When are these things going to end?" And I wish I could say and hug her and say, "Baby, it's going to get better. The bad stuff is going to quit happening." But I can't tell her that because it's not true. Things can get better, and there will be times of good, just like there are times of bad. But to give somebody the false hope to say, just because you're a Christian, things are always going to be great, would be blasphemy. I'll tell you that the closer you become to the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the harder Satan is going to fight against you. If Satan is fighting you right now, tooth and nail on everything you do, it's probably and most likely because you're drawing closer to Jesus. And he doesn't like it. If he's got somebody, he don't have to worry so much about them. He just needs to keep the pot stirred a little bit. But for you that are close to God and are living the way you want to live, expect Satan to attack you. Expect it. Be ready for it. But you don't have to fear it because you have the God of all creation on your side. You have the winner of everything on your side because everything is the ending of the story. Maybe you're a person that has lived a life that you aren't proud of. Maybe you're an Once again, I'm not even going to list things. If you're a sinner, you know you're a sinner. You know right from wrong. I thought many times that kids who are raised in an improper environment and have never taught right and wrong, maybe they just don't ever know right from wrong. But that's not true. As they grow up and they see things, maybe the habit of right and wrong is to do wrong. But they know. If they go and they rob a bank and the police arrive and they run, they know they were wrong. Am I right? So we know right from wrong once we get to a certain point in our life. If it's right, it's from God. If it's wrong, it's from the devil. It's that simple. God tells us, too, that there's no straddling the fence. There's no lukewarm Christians. If you're lukewarm, you're not Christian. Whew. If you're lukewarm, you're not Christian. You say it the third time. If you're lukewarm, you're not Christian. As a matter of fact, Jesus despises the lukewarm. He'd rather spit them out of his mouth, vomit them out, than to deal with lukewarm. At least if you're cold, people understand that. But lukewarm people, they try to make people think that they're warm when they're really cold. Thus the lukewarm, thus the straddling of the fence, and thus you will not make it to heaven as a lukewarm Christian, because those words don't go together. You're either all in or you're all out. You're making that big gamble, and you're putting everything on the line. Are you going to put it on the side of Jesus, or are you going to put it on the side of Satan? You have the choice of what you do. God does not make you choose Jesus. He does not force you to choose Satan. He gives you free will. And what will you choose today? Will you choose the God of the Bible, his son Jesus Christ, that gave his life, that came here, that separated himself from the Father? He was perfect. He had no sins, no sins, no sins. And he went to the cross and he said, I will take the burden. I will allow myself to be separated from the Father, because if I take your sin, my Father knows no sin. And he did that for you and for me. It's indescribable. It's unfathomable. Perfect took the imperfect on his shoulders, and he saved the world. It's a superhero story. He can move mountains when mountains can't be moved. He can save the lost. He can heal the sick. He can bring sight back to the blind. And this man took our sin as his own. He knew no sin. Sin was not in him. And he was, think about this. Think about your own family. Think about your sons and your daughters. Do you want something to separate you from your sons and daughters? And I know right now that probably somebody will start crying, and because something has separated you from your son or your daughter. Think about how horrible that feels. That heart-crushing feeling that is in your body. And that's what Jesus had to go through and be separated from his Father. Not because he did anything bad, not because he was bad, not because there was a rift between him and his Father, not that one had done something bad to the other. He did it for you, and he did it for me. He allowed that separation to come in place. But thank God that separation did not stay in place, because he went to that cross and he was placed in that grave. But the separation ended, because on the third day he rose from the dead. He came back to life. Satan could not hold him down. Satan could not keep the tomb closed. Out comes Jesus. People see him. People testify. People pass on the word that Jesus has risen from the dead. The bad guys in this story, they're so worried that the story is going to get out that they make arrangements in advance to what's going to happen if Jesus happens to come out of that grave. Jesus went on and seen several hundred people so that the story of Jesus coming back to life could be told, and we can be sure that people saw Jesus walking this earth after he was dead, buried, and then resurrected. Now he sits at the right hand of the Father, preparing a place for our eternity. The same as Satan wants you in a fiery pit of burning sulfur, even more so, God wants you to be with him in heaven. Revelation 21, 5 through 7 says this: He who was seated on the throne said, I'm making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all of this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. Praise God. Hallelujah. That was written for you. To the thirsty, I'll give water without cost. Jesus paid the price for that water. It's free. It wasn't free for Jesus. He had to pay a price, but because of his price, God will walk around with his bottle of water for you and put it in your hand. But he won't open that water and pour it down your throat. You got to take it from him. You open it and you got to start chugging it down, and you can chug the whole bottle of water and you can spend eternity in heaven. We don't have to spend eternity in hell. The last thing I want to tell you, I'm going to tell you the title of next week's sermon. Father, help me not to lose track of this. The sermon next week is going to be called Losing is Not an Option. If you listened to the podcast last night, you'll realize that the name of that came to me as we were talking about things on this same subject line. And losing is not an option. Not if you want to be in heaven. Don't risk losing over the deception of Satan. You've got time, he says. Even if you believe that garbage about the Bible, you got time. You don't have to do it today. Thank God Jamie had already done that. She didn't have time. And you might not either. Am I freaking you out? I don't do it to freak you out. I do it to get your attention. Am I making up? The Jamie story is true, folks. The Jamie story is true. I didn't look in some website, sermonillustrations.com, end of times, Jamie. That didn't happen. It happened in my life. Jamie hugged me and said, I love you, Pastor Ed. Almost like she was telling me goodbye. She'd never told me that in her life or in my life. And she hugged me and said, I love you, Pastor Ed. Who do you need to hug tonight and say, I love you? Because maybe they won't be here tomorrow, or maybe you won't be here tomorrow. Who do you need to hug? Who do you need to tell I love you? Who do you need to hear I love you from? Don't wait on them to come to you. Pick up your telephone. Use your text. Go on email. Go on Messenger. Go wherever. God has made it simple for us to reach out to people in the year 2017 and reach out and touch somebody and say, I don't care what happened in the past. I don't care how much you've hurt me. I don't care. I want to make things right today. We may not have tomorrow, but let's get right with each other today. Let's get right with the Lord today. Let's do it together. Let's walk to the throne of Jesus and be ready when our time comes. Losing is not an option. You can't lose and go to heaven. That doesn't work that way. You have to win, and the game is easy. You just have to say yes. We try to make it so difficult. And we, yesterday, smack upside my head, we make it difficult. All I had to do was say yes to Jesus and no to the temptations of the flesh. Smack. What's smacking you in your head today? Who's smacking you in your head today? Is it God saying, and you're going to say, well, God smacked people in the head? I'm using an example. Is it God saying, give your life to me so that one day he'll say, well done, my good and faithful servant? Or is it Satan that's smacking you upside the head and deceiving you and say, you've got for a long time. Don't worry about that Jesus stuff. Don't worry about that Christianity stuff. Don't worry about doing the right thing. All the while laughing behind your back saying, this person's an idiot. They're so gullible. They're so easy. I don't like getting laughed at. I felt as bad yesterday as I felt in a long time because Satan had a couple victories in my life, but I'm not going to let him win the battle. I mean, he may win the battle, but he's not going to win the war. My God says he'll forgive you. Satan says he won't. My God says, I'll love you no matter what. And Satan says, you're lost. God doesn't want you. The Bible tells us it doesn't matter what the sin we've committed is, that Jesus paid the price. He took it on his shoulders. He has a bottle of living water. He's ready to hand it to you. You can accept it. It don't matter who you are, don't matter how much money you have, don't matter how poor you are. You can have this bottle of free living water. And Satan says, oh no, there's a cost. You're going to have to bow down. You're going to have to do things that you don't want to do. He makes being a Christian look so ugly and so hard. He's a liar. Satan, get behind us in the name of Jesus Christ. Get out of our lives. And he says, I ain't getting out of your life. And say, Holy Spirit, protect me. Put a hedge of protection around me. Put a hedge of protection around my family. Get behind me, Satan. You can do it, folks. You can do it. You can overcome. But you got to choose. And today is the day to choose. Father in heaven, I come before you just now, thanking you for the subject matter tonight. It's hard to talk about some things. And it's hard to talk about, Father, that tomorrow may not be here. But, Father, it's easy to share the good news of Jesus Christ. All you got to do is open your mouth. All you got to do is tell people that Jesus loves them. And when they say, well, you don't know my life, you can respond, you're right. I don't know your life, but God knows your life. He knew your life before you was ever created. Father, I pray for those that are sharing and preaching and just witnessing to people with the good news, that those that are listening to them will truly listen and truly hear that God loves you, that his son Jesus Christ loved you so much that he gave his life, and that Satan, while he's trying to put things in the ear, you'll put that hedge of protection around them, and that they will hear and that they will accept you. Father, you don't want anyone to perish, no matter what they've done. Help those that have done the things, and we've all sinned and fallen short, but there are some people that think, there's no way God would ever forgive me. Once again, Father, in the name of Jesus, rebuke those thoughts. Help them to know that just like with the prodigal son, you ran out and you greeted him and you wrapped your arms around him and you welcomed him home. You gave him the coat. You had the feast. You put the ring on his finger after he dishonored you, lived a life of sin, and you ran out and you welcomed him home. You had that bottle of water, that living water, and you gave him that drink. No questions asked. Help today to be the day of salvation for those that are listening. And Father, I know it's difficult in this way to explain what it is that you have to do, but help them to pray and ask for forgiveness of their sins. Help them to acknowledge that they know that Jesus came to this earth and he died on the cross. They have to know that. They have to believe that. If they're unsure, they have to be shown to believe that Jesus died on that cross for their sins and that he rose again from the dead. Help them to believe that and help them to acknowledge that they believe that. And as they repent for those sins, Father, help them to turn around the opposite direction and flee from those sins, knowing, Father, that we'll fail you at times in our life, but we don't have to fail you. And if we do stumble and we do fall, like that prodigal son, you'll come running out. And not only will you reach out, but you will reach down and you will grab us up in your arms and you will hold us tight like we hold our babies. And you'll say, welcome home. Welcome home. Folks, it's that easy. God wants you to know it's that easy. In the name of Jesus, we pray these things. Amen and amen and amen. Jesus wants you to be in heaven. The God of the Bible wants you to be in heaven. I want you to be in heaven. Please, if you need me to talk to you, edboston@me.com, 812-371-7732. If I don't answer, leave me a message. I care that much about your soul and your where you're going to spend eternity. I know it's difficult in this manner, whether you're listening on the podcast, whether you're watching this video, it's hard for you to say, well, I still don't understand how to accept Jesus. Email me, call me, 812-371-7732. Let me say it one more time and I'll say it slow. 812-371-7732. But you know what? You don't have to call me because you got a direct line to heaven. You don't need the middleman operator. I'm only offering my assistance because I can't save you. I can't get you to heaven. I can only do what I can do and do for me. I can share with you, but I only control what I do in my life. If you're blaming others, quit. It's up to you. Are you going to call on Jesus? You can call me to help. But I'm going to tell you, you got to call to Jesus. God bless you. Do the right thing. And the right thing is always following Jesus. God bless you. Good night. Folks that are listening on Blog Talk Radio, thank you for being with us. Take the challenge. Be on the winning side. God loves you so much that he guarantees that you'll win. Good night, and go out and do the right thing.
It's just 2 weeks out and we've got your gifts at Macy's One Day Sale. With over 25,000 deals of the day in-store and online, like PJs for the whole fam, now $4.99 to $19.99. Have a jet setter on your gift list? Samsonite luggage is 60 to 65% off. How about a home chef? Give a KitchenAid Classic Stand Mixer for just $189.99. Tuesday and Wednesday at Macy's. Savings off sale prices. Exclusions apply. Macy's Star Rewards members can earn towards Star Money. Ask your store associate or visit Macy's.com/Star Money for details. It's just 2 weeks out and we've got your gifts at Macy's One Day Sale. With over 25,000 deals of the day in-store and online, like PJs for the whole fam, now $4.99 to $19.99. Have a jet setter on your gift list? Samsonite luggage is 60 to 65% off. How about a home chef? Give a KitchenAid Classic Stand Mixer for just $189.99. Tuesday and Wednesday at Macy's. Savings off sale prices. Exclusions apply. Macy's Star Rewards members can earn towards Star Money. Ask your store associate or visit Macy's.com/Star Money for details.